Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Doug Karsh, Scott Anderson, 97 won the ticket. I'm still fired up about last night's Tiger win. When Tork scooped that double, I don't know if he scooped it. He like took it up just in the gut.
Yeah.
That double play ball on the ground ball.
Ingested it.
Eighth inning, the Royals had first and second, nobody out, and Bo Brisky goes back and finds 100 miles per hour. Goes triple digits for the first time in his career. And then next pitch gets a double play ball and they get out of it. I was fired up. 248-539-9797.
Usually, you know, people are fired up by the Tigers. Okay. And this is just from the media standpoint anyway.
Yep.
At the Lions game on Sunday, I'm up in the press box and actually brought my laptop with me, which, you know, I rarely do, but I did. And so I've been typing my notes on my laptop and
kind of wondered there were no notes this week.
Well, because they're in my computer and I saved them to this. And I had the other window open with the Tigers game cast going on to see what was going on there. And so did everybody else down the line. Stoney was next to me.
Yep.
He had it. Rieger was there. He had it. There were other people down the line. They were, I mean, everybody knew what was going on with, I think Minnesota's playing Cincinnati. Everybody knew what was at stake in that game and what the Tigers are doing against Baltimore. And that's just how it is. And now it's even more so because the Tigers are taking on a team that they are chasing. And then you've got, you know, Minnesota taking on Cleveland. It's all American League Central and it's awesome. And yeah, are you paying attention? I am. And before I can even look at my phone and see what the score is, Dan Dickerson will be updating it on the radio. Or Jason Benetti is like, don't look now, but, you know, watching it, and he's even making fun of the game cast while he's watching the Tigers.
Yep.
He's like, you know, come on, refresh already. But it's just, you know, it's good when it says run scored. Ball in play, run scored. So everybody's in on it.
248-539-9797. Chuck is next here on 97. Want a ticket. Hi, Chuck.
Hey, guys. Hey. Great show. I want to preface this as I am a t-shirt wearing member of the MCDC for 2 years. I was on board early. And remember last year, the Frisco championship game? You guys basically, after the first day, put an embargo on talking about Dan going for field goals or should they do this or that.
We did. Did we put an embargo on?
Yeah, was sort of. You guys like, we're not going to talk about this, okay? But that's a side point.
I don't know that we did. But anyway,
my main
go ahead.
Idea, okay, there were two games won in the first 2 weeks of the NFL season by teams kicking all field goals. And you guys have pointed out that Dan Campbell hasn't brought anybody into camp. He has all this confidence in Bates. And you had mentioned yesterday, I think in his year one, about PTS, FGA, post-traumatic stress about field goal attempt. Now, we have a totally different team. And I think everybody's acknowledged for the first two games, the defense is improved. And so you were saying the downside of long field goal attempt were, you know, leaving the team, the opponent, in good field position. And I think we have a better defense where it pushes the potential to take that field goal, up. You want to try it. So I just think if we expect Bates to make long field goals, we got to let him try it. My second point is the drive at the end of the first
real
half.
Real quick here, Chuck, real quick.
Okay, two things. Goff grounded the ball, or he didn't ground the ball, and wasted timeout. He could have thrown it right at Jamo's feet and saved Dan a timeout. So that didn't help. Second thing, the pass to Tim Patrick over the middle. He caught it with a minute and 1 second left. Dan Campbell did not call the timeout until 48 seconds. He blew at least 10 seconds. They actually gave him a second back and moved the clock back to 49 seconds.
All right, Chuck, thank you for the phone call. Yeah, there were some problems. He's kind of addressed some of it, but yeah, there were things they could have done better. I think they were trying to score right at the horn and get the football back. And as far as the field goal is concerned, that's a, you know, he made the strategic decision. He was asked about it. He said, I thought we had a better chance of getting the stop, pinning him deep, like their punter, pin him deep, get it back, score a touchdown, win it. Then kick the field goal, get a stop, kick another field goal, win it. He went one way, didn't work.
I think it would have been really interesting to see what he would have done in the second half if they didn't have the halftime debacle. If they're able, you know, if the field goal unit stays off the field and allows them to spike the ball, and then they kick the field goal, how does that change your decision-making in the second half? Do you go ahead and try that 58-yard field goal instead of punting it? Or, you know, obviously if you make it there and you've got those 3 points, then you've got an easy decision ahead of you when you're getting the ball into the red zone. It doesn't matter. If you don't have to go for it on fourth down, you're just kicking the field
goal. You kick that field goal, might change the way the entire second half is played. Yeah. Tampa's approach, too.
But. Yes.
Matt's in St. Clair Shores, and he is next. Hi, Matt.
Hey, boys. Hey. Tried to call yesterday, but I don't know, something was going on. I just think that we're still in preseason mode, right? I feel like we're still trying to work Jamo into the offense, and that's what's kind of causing everything to look so crazy. You know, the last few years, everything's been about timing, like three steps and then the ball's out. Well, Jamo's running deeper routes, so that timing has changed now. So without Goff having played preseason games, the whole team is now trying to figure out how much longer do we have to, you know, the offensive line has to, you know, protect a little bit more.
They haven't struggled getting the ball. He's like third in the NFL in yards receiving so far.
You're right, but the reason I think the offense looks rusty is, like, there's no Laporta because he was based on timing routes. Same with St. Brown, but now they're trying to take longer time to get Jamo the ball. He's got 20 targets in 2 weeks, which is the most he's ever had in that kind of time. And when you're waiting longer for Jamo to open up when he's the first read, that takes away from getting the ball quickly to St. Brown on the third step or the second step to Laporta.
Well, say this, Matt, you might be right on that. I mean, Dan Campbell this morning kind of said something similar to that when
you'll
he talked about Jared
up.
Goff.
You'll hear it coming up between what he said about Goff and the use of Laporta. We're going to replay all that for you starting today at 12:30. The one thing to keep in mind about the offense looking rusty, because I think we'd all agree it doesn't look the same as it ended last year, but it's almost exclusively because they're not putting the ball in the end zone. They are top 10 in the NFL in rush yards, and they're number 2 in the NFL in passing yards. Problems, we might be over-exaggerating the problems when it's simply finished the drives in the blue paint.
Yeah, I get that what you're saying, but when we are letting Jamo run long, deep routes, which we need to get him into the offense to establish him as a threat to get the pressure off of Laporta and St. Brown, but now our offensive line is pass blocking longer, which takes time and energy away from them, as opposed to the run blocking that they're doing when we pushed it down the Rams' throat with Montgomery. It's a completely different thing that now the offensive line, you know, Sewell's got a foot now, Ragnow's already got a foot, these guys are getting banged up already. It's taking energy from them. So the whole team as a whole has to understand how they're going to wrinkle Jamo in.
Well, thank you for the phone call. The more I think about this, the more I think we're probably slightly over-exaggerating offensive problems. Finish drives in the end zone, you got a top 10 rushing attack, a top 2 passing attack, and you score more points if you're kicking extra points instead of field goals.
Doug, you're absolutely right. I think he was missing your point. Like, you don't have to run long routes and, you know, pass protect longer inside the red zone. You know, Jameson Williams not running a 50-yard, you know, route when you're at the 19-yard line. get specific with it. Yeah, the only issue the Lions really have is the red zone. They're not scoring touchdowns. In fact, the end of the half, they should have 3 points where they had zero. That's more points in the red zone. Their issues are the red zone. They get that corrected, they should be rolling.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.